Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Mr. Ron Kelly's show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, and on the web is theronkellyshow.com. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon at our new time, evening, I should say, 6 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com. Thanks again for joining me, everybody, and welcome back. I've been off a couple weeks and back and better than ever. It's the Ron Kelly Show. All right, so much has happened over the last couple of weeks, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the floodwaters that are raining down on the city of Houston right now, Houston, Texas. And so our hearts go out to the folks who are out there, the folks who are trapped in their homes, and et cetera, et cetera. Also, the first responders and those folks who are out there trying to save others. Our hearts and our prayers go out to those who have lost loved ones. I believe there was 10 people so far who have passed away, according to the latest figures, and one of them being a sheriff's deputy, a police officer, a Houston police officer, who was drowned on his way to work. And such a tragic story that took place. Let me pull this up right here. Yeah, veteran police officer drowned while responding to Harvey. This just came in about 55 minutes ago, according to NBC News. The 34-year veteran of the Houston Police Department drowned in his patrol car while responding to the deadly Hurricane Harvey over the weekend. Sergeant Steve Perez died when he became trapped in floodwaters while on his way to work Sunday. Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo said, through tears at a news conference this afternoon. Unfortunately, in the darkness, Sergeant Perez drove into an underpass that's around 16 and a half feet, drove into the water, and he died in a flood drowning type event. Chief Acevedo said Perez never arrived to work on Sunday, and they contacted his wife, who said she had not heard from him since 4 a.m. that morning. So our hearts go out to the police officers all across the country and those who are in the Texas area, Department of Public Safety, Texas Rangers, and those who are down there right now helping out in this epic rainstorm created by Hurricane Harvey. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. The phone number here is 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. You can hook up with me on Facebook. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And on Twitter, it's R. Kelly, Ron Kelly Radio. All right, much has happened in the last couple of weeks since we've been off the air. We're back today. Thank you so much for joining me. It's the Ron Kelly Show. You know what it is, and it's on blogtalkradio.com at a very brand new time. It's 6 p.m. It's kind of nice to be on in the evening when everyone's home now and doing the things that they need to do. Here we are, invading your household. It's the Ron Kelly Show. All right, this afternoon on the show, Trump drops a bomb, drops a hint, and then drops a bomb, and he pardons controversy with Sheriff Joe Arpaio. I have a clip of that when he was asked that in his last news conference. We'll talk about that. I'll play that for you. Also, there's sudden concern over statues against Confederacy, and is it really necessary to tear down these statues? I'll tell you. And is it a bad time to be liberal? Is liberalism the new evil? We'll talk about that as well right here on the Ron Kelly Show. But first, this portion of the Ron Kelly Show is brought to you by Dawn Ebony Martin Designs. She's located at 629 Bloomfield Avenue, Montclair, New Jersey. The phone number is 917-498-0663. That's 917-498-0663. Get out of her website. It's www.dawnebonymartin.com, and you can follow her on Twitter It's @dress_NV. All right, everybody, great to have you back. Shout out to all my LinkedIn followers and folks on over there who I battle with on a regular basis, conservatives and liberals alike. And as I said earlier, we'll talk about why it's bad to be a liberal. Is it a bad time to be a liberal right now on Ron Kelly Show? All right, so President Trump pardons Joe Arpaio on Friday, sparing the controversial former Arizona sheriff a jail sentence after he was convicted of criminal contempt related to his hardline tactic going after undocumented immigrants. Now, the move drew outcry from civil rights groups, of course, who accused Arpaio of violating the Constitution in his crackdown on illegal immigration. Now, during last year's presidential campaign, Arpaio was a vocal proponent of Trump's candidacy and used his national notoriety to advocate for Trump's similarly aggressive stance on border security and deportations. In a brief statement released Friday evening, the White House praised Arpaio's career. The quote goes as follows. Throughout his time as sheriff, Arpaio continued his life's work on protecting the public from the scourges of crime and illegal immigration, the statement read. Now, Sheriff Joe Arpaio is now 85 years old, and after more than 50 years of admirable service to our nation, he is a worthy candidate for a pardon. And Arpaio did thank the president on Twitter. And incidentally, he was not at the rally that Mr. Trump held in Phoenix. That was feared to be a Donnybrook. And the reason why, you give President Trump just a teeny weeny bit of credit that he didn't announce the pardoning of Sheriff Joe, as they call him, at that time, because it would have caused quite a ruckus with all the protesting and what have you that was going on there at that time. So I tell you what, let's listen to President Trump when he was asked about his pardon of former Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Listen to this.
I wonder if you could tell us what was behind your thinking for issuing a pardon for the sheriff. And as well, what do you say to your critics, even some in your own party, who say it was the wrong thing to do?
Well, a lot of people think it was the right thing to do, John. And actually, in the middle of a hurricane, even though it was a Friday evening, I assumed the ratings would be far higher than they would be normally. You know, the hurricane was just starting. And I put it out that I had pardoned, as we say, Sheriff Joe. He's done a great job for the people of Arizona. He's very strong on borders, very strong on illegal immigration. He is loved in Arizona. I thought he was treated unbelievably unfairly when they came down with their big decision to go get him right before the election voting started, as you know, and he lost in a fairly close election. He would have won the election, but they just hammered him just before the election. I thought that was a very, very unfair thing to do. When I mentioned him the other night, you saw the massive crowd we had. The people went crazy when I said, "What do you think of Sheriff Joe," or something to that effect. The place went absolutely.
So, okay. So he says that he thought that Sheriff Joe Arpaio was treated unbelievably unfairly. Now, I've spoken to people, man on the street type of, had conversations with people I know and just people in general, and I asked about how they felt about President Trump pardoning Mr. Arpaio. And I got a mixed reaction, but one person in particular, he was a white gentleman, in particular, was very vehement about his support for the move and for the, you know, and for, and he was very, very relatable to the situation. Now, there are folks in Arizona, and I'm sure there are plenty of folks in Arizona who did love Sheriff Joe Arpaio and some of the things that he was doing. But now, despite what you may think about illegal immigration, the law happens to be the law, you see. And what happens with the conservatives and such, how they are, you know, so law and order minded, but then when it comes to what they want, they just, you know, flirt the law, like President Trump did when he pardoned this man. You know, The sheriff of Ohio broke the law when he went after people. And you have to understand that, you know, in America today, there are lots of people who are down with the movement in regards to just grabbing up people. If you look like an immigrant, just grab him up, check him out. If he's not an immigrant, let him go. If he is, lock him up and send him back to wherever you're going. There are lots of folks that agree with that. You see, it shouldn't come as no surprise because there are a lot of people who's the president? Donald Trump is the president. And although he said some of the most heinous things and attacked just about everyone except for his mother, at the time he was running for president, he was still elected. And see, this is a thing that people are people do. You know, you hear him saying at his rallies, build that wall, build that wall. And, you know, and what you have to understand is there are lots of people who are down with the movement in regards to President Trump and his leanings toward illegal aliens. And you know, it's funny, but there are a lot of things that President Trump says that I do agree with, and I do agree that limit illegal aliens or the flow. We need to stem the tide, I should say, of illegal aliens. We really do need to do that. You know, but there's going to be a way to do it. And you see, Sheriff Arpaio, back to Sheriff Arpaio, Sheriff Arpaio was very cruel to inmates. Now, I had talked to a gentleman today who hit the ceiling when I mentioned how Sheriff Joe Arpaio was cruel to inmates. And his reasoning for that was that inmates don't deserve to be treated well. You see, we have a constitution, ladies and gentlemen. It says that even inmates, no matter how heinous the crime, no matter how hated the person might be by society, even Jeffrey Dahmer, for example, had rights. Now, a lot of us behind the scenes under our breath are glad that he got killed in prison and you think he died the way he should have died. But on the other side of that, he does have rights. And Sheriff Arpaio routinely violated the rights of the prisoners that were under his watch when he was sheriff of Maricopa County. And one instance was the tent city he had outside of the prison. Now, do we know if the prison just didn't have room for these people and they put them outside because of overcrowding? We'll probably never know. But Sheriff Joe Arpaio did have a tent city, and he did keep prisoners outside in 100-degree heat. No air conditioning, no nothing. And another thing he did was he dressed the people in pink. Now, you might think that, you know, these are small things and that a criminal doesn't deserve pity, for the lack of a better word, but these people they've been convicted under the law of the United States of America, and they've been put in jail. And it wasn't right for Sheriff Joe, as they lovingly call him, it wasn't right for him to go around and punish people even further. That wasn't his place, you know. So President Trump, when he pardoned Mr. Arpaio, he did mention some of the more controversial pardons that other presidents before him have done. President Obama pardoning Chelsea Manning, for example, and President Clinton pardoning fugitive financier Mark Rich. It was another situation there. And allegedly after Mark Rich had donated, or his wife rather, had donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Clinton campaign, allegedly. So, you know, he did quote these things, and I didn't play the whole thing, but I will go back to that piece where he does quote some of these other controversial pardons that presidents prior to his arrival in Washington did make, and which is true. President Obama did pardon Chelsea Manning, who was accused of passing secrets to the enemy. So, yeah, so does he have a point or does he not have a point? He also talked about fugitive financier Mark Rich, who was a friend of the Clintons and who was pardoned by then-President Bill Clinton just days before President Clinton left office. So, this might stink a little bit. It might not smell right to you, but the fact of the matter is that both Presidents Obama and Clinton did pardon controversial figures, people who had committed crimes. So is it so bad that President Trump pardoned Joe Arpaio? I mean, when you take a good look at it, I mean, is it so bad? All right, so the phone number here is 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. I would love to see what your take is on this Sheriff Joe Arpaio being pardoned by President Trump. And see, and why, everyone's all up in arms about this, and, I'm just bringing it to the forefront, but everybody's all up in arms about President Trump pardoning Joe Arpaio. I mean, he dropped a hint, and we all knew it was going to happen, that he was going to pardon the man. So is it good? Is it bad? Is it indifferent? 646-668-2838. You can hit me up on Facebook. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And on Twitter, it's Ron Kelly Radio. All right, so what we'll do is take a quick break. We'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Hi, I'm Amanda Peet. Like all new parents, my husband and I want what's best for our baby. When it was time for our daughter's immunizations, we wanted the facts. So we carefully researched vaccines. We spoke with doctors and other experts and asked some tough questions. We decided that vaccines were the best thing for our child. I urge you to get the facts. Learn the facts about vaccines so you can make the best healthcare decisions for your family. Thank you.
A message from the American Academy of Pediatrics and VaccinateYourBaby.org.
Oh no! I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, everybody, we're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's 20 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock. It's our new time, 6 p.m. right here on the Ron Kelly Show. Get at me on Twitter. It's Ron Kelly Radio. And on Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. All right, great to have you guys here. Thanks so much for joining me. I know a lot of you don't know, but right now, listen, quite a few people are saying, what is he doing on at 6 o'clock? Well, tell you what, tell a friend, the Ron Kelly Show is now on at 6 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com. All right, so, I'm interested to know where folks are fall on this Sheriff Arpaio pardoning. Well, pardon me, is the Sheriff Arpaio pardoning, if you will. What is taking place. And, anything that Trump does is going to be controversial. Let's just face it. Whatever Trump does is going to be controversial. I think that because what makes this controversy, let me put it like this. Let me start with this. See, Mark Rich wasn't a big deal back in the day. No. He was a fugitive from the law. There's thousands of fugitives from the law. You know, so nobody really cared about Mark Rich until President Clinton pardoned him. You know, Chelsea Manning, for example. Yeah, she wasn't really, you know, she was in the news, but she wasn't in the news. What put her in the news was because she had been tried and convicted and she was in prison and everybody just moved on. And what made it controversial was that President Obama pardoned her. So it makes Sheriff Joe Arpaio, former Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Maricopa County Sheriff, I should say, Joe Arpaio. So what makes his pardoning controversial is the fact that President Obama, I mean, that President Trump did it at a time where, you know, the debate rages on about statues and, you know, and illegal immigrants. And we'll get to that. We'll talk about that in just a minute. We'll get to the statues that are coming down and why, what for. But, you know, but President Trump is, you know, we find this to be, you know, this pardoning to be, you know, leave a bad taste in some people's mouths because of the time right now with the oil, right? And, you know, and what have you. But there are lots of people across the country who don't want to see people jumping over the fence and coming here. And because it does raise your taxes when folks come in. So there are people who voted for President Trump because that was a vote for no. We don't want to bring any Syrians in here, 100,000 Syrians, whatever the presidential candidate, former Secretary Clinton would have done and what President Obama was doing. I personally myself didn't want the Syrians or no big group of immigrants to come here to the United States of America. And it's not that I didn't want us to have a humanitarian position on these things. I just didn't want it. I thought that, you know, that it was too, I thought that it was wrongheaded for us to try to do that. And I still think that, you know, bringing in hundreds of thousands of Syrians would have been a bad move. I still think that. And it's not because I'm a racist or, you know, I'm an anti, you know, it's not because I'm racist or anti, you know, anti-Muslim or anything like that. It would have been anybody. I just didn't want it to happen. You know, so, you know, love it or hate it, but, you know, I do think that that's something that should have happened. And I do think that there should be something done about illegal immigration. But I don't think that, while I don't agree with the sanctuary city nonsense, but I do think that something should be done. And why, no, borders shouldn't be just left wide open. I just don't believe that. Anyway, it's 23 minutes past the hour, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com. All right, so should Confederate monuments come down? Should Confederate monuments come down? So here we have a situation where outraged protesters are demanding the removal of statues and monuments celebrating racism and oppression. Now, you know, if you take a look at a monument, it's just a monument. It's like, for example, a monument of Robert E. Lee, the famous or infamous General Robert E. Lee. There's a statue of Robert E. Lee in Charlottesville. You can look it up, you can Google it. A statue of Robert E. Lee on a horse, holding his hat to his on his right hand side, and holding a horse. Now, to the average person, you look at it, and it doesn't say anything about slavery or the practice of slavery. It doesn't say anything about that. If you just look at the statue, and if you look at many of these statues, they don't say. It's not like there's a black person on the back or there's a slave walking along the horse or anything like that. If you look at these statues, they don't really say anything. See, unless you know the origin of the statue or if you know the person whose statue is dedicated to, you're going to pass by the statue like many of us have walked past thousands of statues in our lifetimes and didn't think another thing about it. You know, so I'm looking at the statue. As a matter of fact, it's a picture of a statue of Robert E. Lee in Charlottesville, where this whole alt-right liberal clash happened several weeks ago. And if you just look at this statue, I don't see anything wrong with this statue. I don't even know who's sitting up there on that horse. Now, I know who it is because I've been told who it is. I can read who it is. It's General Robert E. Lee. But the statue itself, and my point here is the statue itself doesn't say anything about racism. It doesn't say anything about the Confederacy. There's no Confederate flag on the horse. But the general is not carrying, a Confederate flag. Or there's no racial, indications at all in this on this statue. So why do we have to move the statues? Why do we have to pull them down? You see, I was against the statues being removed, and I'm going to tell you why. But here's something I saw that really turned me off. Now, there was a group of, it was like college students who pulled down a statue of a controversial Confederate figure. And then they started kicking it. Now, even white people. And I'm not saying that white people shouldn't have a issue with racism or the Confederacy with these statues. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have a problem with this, but what for? Why is this important, and why is it so important now? And when you're looking at things, objectively, party politics don't play into what you see. Because you can have a clearer vision when you look at things objectively, and you don't look at things as a Democrat or as a Republican. When you look at something that's wrong or right, you can look at it objectively. And as I'm looking at this situation with these statues, and again, the statue of Robert E. Lee right in Charlottesville, you can Google it, you can look it up, and you look at the statue itself. It looks like a statue of Robert E. Lee riding a horse. And there's nothing suggestive about the statue. Nothing. So I don't understand why. These statues have been standing for years. And people are demanding the removal of statues and monuments, which they say celebrates racism and oppression. Now, other folks who, traditionalists, they're called, objected to erasing history, even though the memorials were erected years after that history, specifically to remind viewers of white domination and superiority. And I just don't see that. I don't see these statues. I don't see these statues as embracing the Confederacy or racism or slavery or anything like that. I don't see it. I just don't see it. It's just like, the recent debate over these Confederate symbols is also the story of South Africa's recent debate over monuments to white minority rule. What can the United States learn from South Africa's controversies? I just don't see it. But since 2015, after this joker went into the church, Emmanuel African Methodist Church, and killed those people, after that happened, the United States has been debating whether to remove public displays of Confederate symbols like flags, statues, and monuments. Now, the protesters try to protect those monuments, and that includes the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, which I mentioned earlier, where white supremacists rallied on behalf of a statue of Robert E. Lee, the same one I'm talking about now, resulting in dozens of injuries and the death of one counter-protester. So, within a few days of that, cities across the country and municipal officials removed unofficial protesters removed or covered the statues, whether they did it legally or otherwise. Now, I don't see this. Because if you look at the statue, the Confederate flag if you look at the statue, you know, and I'm going to tell you in our next segment right after the break, I'm going to get into, you know, who advocated for slavery in the first place and who were the folks who fought and died to keep slavery alive. They failed, but we're going to talk about that in our next break, so stand by for that. Now, there's a movement going on in South Africa right now. It's called hashtag Rhodes Must Fall, R-H-O-D-E-S Must Fall. It's the University of Cape Town, South Africa students, and they demanded that the university remove the statue of this person, Cecil Rhodes, who was a British imperialist who helped colonize South Africa and believed whites to be a superior race. Cecil Rhodes, you can Google it up. Now, on editorial pages, the writers claim the students wanted to erase history, good or bad. Now, in the same year, a statue of the Afrikaner leader, Paul Kruger, was vandalized in Pretoria's Church Square. Now, counter-protesters gathered to protect the statue, and some chained themselves to it. Other people held signs demanding the defense of our heritage and a place for our children in South Africa. So there are people who, like it or not, they are protective of this heinous, horrific crime against humanity that the Afrikaners and the people who colonized South Africa, who felt they were superior and who for years brutalized black people, brutalized, including Nelson Mandela, who was in prison for 27 years. Now, Nelson Mandela eventually did become president of South Africa, but Nelson Mandela was, and Steve Biko and many of these, you know, some of these black people who fought for freedom were jailed and imprisoned. And I tell you, the Afrikaner movement was much more brutal than, and that's not to say that the United States did a better job, but the Afrikaner situation was much more brutal. And it went on for years. And see, it didn't start getting any attention until folks, Harry Belafonte and such folks, started coming out and speaking about this. And eventually, once again, Nelson Mandela became the president of South Africa. But you see, now something similar to what's happened in Charlottesville happened in Cape Town when a protester chained himself to a statue of Jan van Riebeeck, who was the first Dutch settler at the Cape Colony. So there are folks who are very protective of this, of the Afrikaner history in South Africa and of the Confederacy in the United States of America. There are folks who are very protective of this stuff. You know, and then there are people who think that they should go. Now, as far as I'm concerned, there are people who say, why don't black people just forget about racism? And why don't black people just forget about, why don't we just forget about what happened to black folks back in the day? Why don't we just forget about slavery? Why don't we forget about blacks not being allowed to read, not being allowed to learn how to read or write? Black folks whose feet were, whose toes were cut off when they were trying to escape and they were caught. You know, black slaves whose wives were bedded by these filthy slave owners, who were, at night they were plucked from the embrace of their husbands and brought into the white slave owner's home and sexually assaulted by these people. And they expect black folks to forget about it. See, I mean, you don't see anybody talking about telling Jews to forget about the Holocaust. Now, nobody wouldn't dare say that. And, you know, I have nothing against Jewish people. But as an example, you don't hear people telling the Jews, oh, just forget about the Holocaust. But you hear folks regularly, and I've heard people have even said to me as a radio personality, people have even called into my radio show and have said, why don't you just forget about slavery? Or why are we talking about that again? Well, you know, if how can we preserve the legacy of the Confederacy without remembering slavery? I mean, you can't do it. You can't do it. You know, you can't do it. If you're going to preserve one part, you got to preserve the whole thing. So we should remember what happened with the slaves and what the brutalization of black people and even the legality, the constitutional, amendment. The black folks were 1/3 of a person, not even a full and equal partner in this great society. You know, my position is I just don't think that folks should, we should remove the statues. I mean, for what? What are we removing them for? What for what purpose? Because, is it going to make black folks better? Is removing the statues and because again, you look at the statue and it doesn't say anything about racism. It says nothing. So do we go back and Trump made a nonsensical statement, but it had a little bit of leverage to it. I mean, do we go back and take down the statues of everybody? No, of course not. But, the Confederacy is something that reminds people of slavery. Now, the Confederacy doesn't remind me of slavery. I don't think of slavery when I see a Confederate flag, but there are some racial connotations. Absolutely, 100% yes. There are racial connotations when it comes to the Confederacy and Confederate flags. And I used to love, when I was younger, I used to love watching the Dukes of Hazzard and the General E. Lee, the car that was a central point of the whole show, had a Confederate flag on its roof. And then there was a move to take the flag off the roof of the General Lee. Now, why would, I think it goes too far. That car was a part of that show, and many black folks who watched that show, who liked that show, did not think of racism when they watched the Dukes of Hazzard. They just wanted to see the car jump over a creek or something. Now, while yes, you didn't see too many black people on the Dukes of Hazzard show, for example, you didn't see too many of them. That's absolutely true. But, you didn't think of slavery when you looked at the General Lee, the car in the Dukes of Hazzard show. You didn't think of that. So I think it's all, it all depends on how you look at it. But I do, my opinion is that we shouldn't take statues down. Because if you just look at a statue, it does not remind you of racism. It just reminds certain people about racism. I think if you take a poll of the country at large, black folks at large, many of them had no opinion at all about the Confederacy. They're just looking to try to keep their heads above water, so to speak. So, if you take a poll of African Americans, you probably would find that many black folks just really don't care about this controversy with these statues and what's it going to do for the black experience in America. Just nothing. We'll take a break and we'll come right back with more of this show. This is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, and on the web is theronkellyshow.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back.
back with more of The Ron Kelly Show after this.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barasa, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Well, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle calls. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Had Andrew Jackson been a little bit later, you wouldn't have had the Civil War. He was a very tough person, but he had a big heart, and he was really angry that he saw what was happening with regard to the Civil War. He said, there's no reason for this. People don't realize, you know, the Civil War,
yeah.
You think about it, why? People don't ask that question, but why was there the Civil War? Why could that one not have been worked out?
That was President Trump. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, and on the web is theronkellyshow.com. That clip was President Trump talking about Andrew Jackson. You know, and he talked about Civil War, you know, and we're going to get into this about slavery and why, you know, why there was a Civil War fought between the northern and southern states. It was went on from 5 years, from 1861 to 1865. Now, the Civil War, which is also known as the War Between the States, was fought between the United States of America and the Confederate States of America. Now, the Confederate States were a collection of 11 Southern states that left the Union in 1860 and 1861 and formed their own country in order to protect the institution of slavery. Listen to the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. The Civil War between the states were fought between the Confederate States of America, which seceded from the United States of America. Now, this is something that should be familiar to many of you who follow this stuff, with some states, Texas being the main one, that routinely threatens secession from the United States of America. Well, not, you know, since this the governor right now, Greg Abbott, I don't believe I've ever heard, Governor Abbott advocate that Texas secede from the United States of America, but this war between the states was fought between the United States of America and the Confederate States of America, which seceded, 11 southern states that seceded from the United States of America. Now, this is American history, everyone. Now, Jefferson Davis, who was a former U.S. senator and the Secretary of War, he was appointed president of the Confederate States of America. So Jefferson Davis was the president of the Confederate States of America, which advocated to retain slavery, the Confederate States of America. Now, the United States thought that the Southern states were wrong to leave the Union and initiated a war that was initiated by the United States of America, initiated a war that raged across the country for 4 years. And in 1865, the United States defeated the Confederate states and abolished slavery nationwide. Now, those 11, Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederate States of America, the CSA, I guess they were called, lost a war. Now, Abraham Lincoln was the president of the United States of America during the Civil War. And when Lincoln... according to history, Lincoln, his anti-slavery stance is what caused the Southern states to succeed or secede from the United States after he was after Lincoln was elected president in 217 years ago. Now, Lincoln declared he would do everything necessary to keep the United States as united as one country. Now, he refused to recognize the Southern states as an independent nation, and that's when the Civil War broke out in the 1 year after Lincoln became president. Now, on the 1st of January in 1863, Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which for the most part freed the slaves who didn't know how to read, write, or do anything else. So what were they supposed to do anyway? Many of them stayed on the plantations because they had no place to go. They couldn't read, they couldn't write, they couldn't take care of themselves. They had been kept as cattle, so to speak, by the slave owners for all those years. So they didn't know, they didn't have any skills. Couldn't read, couldn't write. Now, how would you make it in America? Especially at that time, of being black, you couldn't read, you couldn't write. So, April 14th, 1865, Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth, who was a Southern sympathizer. So slavery was the law of the land in the North and the South until the early 19th century. And it was basically concentrated in the Southern states where slaves were used as farm laborers, and they formed the backbone of the Southern economy. Now, in the Northern states, where industry drove the economy, many people believed that slavery was immoral and wrong. Southerners felt threatened by these Northern abolitionists, as they were called at the time, white folks with power, and claimed that the common government had no power to end slavery against the wishes of the states. Eventually, Southerners became convinced that the common government would attempt to abolish slavery nationwide. So those 11 states left the United States of America and formed the Confederate States of America, one by one: South Carolina, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Texas, Virginia, Arkansas, North Carolina, and Tennessee. Those were the 11 states that left, seceded from the United States of America to form their own country. And you see, now, let's talk about who and what and why. See, after the war was over, the Constitution was amended to free the slaves and to assure equal protection under the law for American citizens to grant black men the right to vote. Now, we all know black people didn't get the right to vote until the 60s, even though hundreds of years ago, according to the Constitution, black folks were supposed to have been allowed to vote. Now, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments were added to the Constitution before the Southern states were readmitted to the United States of America. And the 14th Amendment guaranteed that citizens would receive equal protection under the law, which we know hasn't happened. And the 15th Amendment granted black men the right to vote. You see, so, you know, the Democrats were the folks who embraced slavery. See, many of it's ironic how many, you know, black folks who embraced the Democratic Party, when the Democratic Party was the party of slavery. The Democratic Party was formed in 1792 when supporters of Thomas Jefferson began using the name Republicans, or Jeffersonian Republicans, to emphasize its anti-aristocratic policies. Now, it adopted its present name during the presidency of Andrew Jackson. Now, in the 1840s and 50s, the party was in conflict over extending slavery to the Western territories. Southern Democrats insisted on protecting slavery in all the territories, while many Northern Democrats resisted. So it's the Southern Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, the Southern Democrats who insisted on protecting slavery while the Northern Democrats resisted. Now, the party split over the slavery issue in 1860. And at his convention in South Carolina, the Northern Democrats nominated Stephen Douglas as their candidate. The Southern Democrats adopted a pro-slavery platform and nominated John C. Breckinridge, who both lost. Because Abraham Lincoln won that presidential election. Lincoln and newly formed Republican Party. So after the Civil War, most white Southerners opposed radical Reconstruction, and the Republican Party supported black and civil political rights. So it was the Republicans, the party that we rail against nowadays for being insensitive to minorities, are the people. The party of Lincoln, actually, Lincoln did support the freeing of slaves. Now, you know, you'll have people who say, well, you know, it was didn't mean much that Lincoln wanted to, you know, that it was the history being manipulated, so to speak. There are folks who will say that. But the Democratic Party identifies itself as the white man's party and demonized the Republicans as being Negro-dominated, even though whites were in control. You see, so it was the Southern Democrats who succeeded from the United States of America, everyone. It wasn't the Republicans. You see, so you have today where folks are rail against the Republicans. Oh, they don't care about minorities. And you got Trump, and he doesn't support the people, and et cetera, et cetera. It was the Democrats. So, you know, those folks who are call themselves liberals, et cetera, the Democratic Party was founded in 1792 with Thomas Jefferson, who was a slave owner as well. He's, you know, you can't let him get away with anything. And I believe that Abraham Lincoln, I don't believe that Abraham Lincoln was one. But the Democratic Party is the world's oldest political party. There's no party in the world older than the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party was in control when slavery. It was only when the Republicans and the abolitionists supported the abolition of slavery. That's when the Republican Party was formed. So for years, the Democrats were perfectly fine with slavery. So now you have black folks who follow the Democrats and vote for them on a regular basis and don't even really know what they're voting for. You see, because the Democratic Party today, let me just say this, that the Democrats I mean, people, liberals and people who, you know, being a liberal is basically like being a Democrat. There's very few liberals that are actually non-party affiliated. So liberals support, you know, democratic values, which is Democrats. The Democrats who are in power for years, the only political party in America before the Republicans came along, I mean, independents came along much later, but it was the Democrats. So the Democrats originally weren't liberals. The Democrats were people who supported slavery. They supported slavery and succeeded from the United States of America, 11 states, southern states, and went to war with itself. You know, the Confederate States of America went to war with the United States of America, even though it was one country connected to each other at the time, but those people succeeded. So it was that important for the Democrats, who are called liberals today. It was that important for them to maintain the status quo with slavery that they went to war with their very own country to maintain Jim Crow. To Democrats. So everybody up to date, the Democrats are advocating for everything, you know, when it was the Democrats that did advocated for slavery, went to war. I mean, separated from the United States of America. I mean, it was easier back then because we're talking like 200 years ago, but they separated themselves. They picked a president. So they were two presidents of the United States of America at one time, or two presidents on the soil of the United States of America, two presidents. One president of the Confederate States of America and a president of the United States of America. You know, so this is something that you can't forget. But you know, so we have the Democrats and the liberals, so to speak, are the ones who advocated for all this. So people need to, you know, so this is why it's so important that history not repeat itself, but history is studied and documented, and you know what happened back, you know, years ago. You need to know. So is it a bad time to be a liberal? Well, the way the country is going today, it probably is. Because the way things are, because it's not fashionable to be a liberal anymore. You know, the country is going in another direction. Yeah. With the election of Trump and where the country is going, there are lots of folks out here who love Trump. They love his quirkiness, his personal fumblings and bumblings, and people love Trump, you know. So this is, you know, so right now being liberalism is going out the window right now, because the country is moving in a different direction. We're moving away from giving and helping other people. We're moving away from give us your tithes, your poor, your huddled masses, your enemy free. Excuse me. We're moving away from that. So the liberal views are not as popular as they used to be. So, you know, it's hard times. It's coming to hard times for liberals. It's hard times. It's going to be a difficult, very difficult time to be a liberal in today's world. Anyway, things are awesome. All right, everybody. Thank you for allowing me to spend part of your Tuesday afternoon. We'll see you back here next week at 6 p.m. right here on the Ron Kelly Show. So once again, pray for the folks in Houston and everybody else. Just be safe out there.